Thank you. Hi everyone, my name is Alana. You're listening to The Raw on 91.5 WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. You just heard a song called Drink Before the War by an Irish singer called Sinead O'Connor. That song was off of her 1987 debut album, The Lion and the Cobra. Sinead O'Connor was the first artist I ever played on the radio, and today I'm going to be playing her again. This whole hour is going to be dedicated to a little survey through, I believe, four of her albums? Yep, four of six. So she was born in Dublin in 1966, which means she was just 21 when The Lion and the Cobra came out. When I was younger, I didn't really understand how big of a deal it is to have such a major what would become a major album, come out so young. And as I approach my 21st birthday, I'm thinking a little bit about her and this album. The Lion and the Cobra is my favorite Sinead O'Connor album, but I do have to say I love all of her music. I grew up listening to her all the time. My dad is a huge Sinead O'Connor fan and has seen her in concert many times. And so she was kind of a defining sound of my childhood, I would say. But I kind of came to Sinead O'Connor more so on my own in my freshman year of college, where I really kind of dug in to The Lion and the Cobra and just totally fell in love with the album. And so as I get closer and closer to the age she was when it was released, I am increasingly amazed by the work and what she was able to put out. And I also feel really sad for her because she faced so much scrutiny as such a young person. And I'll talk about this later, but she was really committed to the pursuit of justice and faced a lot of backlash for that, particularly as a young person. And so, I'm thinking a lot about her these days. So I'm going to take you on a little journey through her discography, as it were. Once again, that was Drink Before the War. Next up, we have another few songs off of that same 1987 release. Next up is called Just Call Me Joe. Just call me Joe. just heard Mandinka off of that same 1987 album, The Lion and the Cobra. Mandinka is probably my favorite Sinead O'Connor song ever. I love that song. And again, like, it's a, like, it came from such a young person. Really, really beautifully done. Lots of texture in it. A lot, like, earlier in Just Call Me Joe, you kind of hear her incorporate, like, a lot of speaking. And in Mandinka, she incorporates, like, other types of, like, vocal sounds, which I think is so cool. That's something she does throughout her music. But to talk about Mandinka more specifically, that song is... the title is based or named after people of a West African tribe known for their strength and resistance to slavery. And the song is described as a heartfelt apology to those who have endured human slavery. Like I said a few minutes ago, O'Connor was deeply committed to the pursuit of justice and freedom. And you see that in her first album and throughout the rest of her music. But her way of expressing it, I think, is so deeply human. And she does it in a way that I think connects with people very universally. Universal is a word that will come up later. Moving on to her next album. This is a 1990 release called I Do Not Want What I Have Not Got. And... it's the most popular track off of the album was actually written by Prince. It was titled Nothing Compares to You. I've actually chosen to not play that song because it is the most popular O'Connor song, but she didn't actually write it. And there's a little bit of tension in that relationship. So instead, I've decided to enter this album with... it's quite a long song, actually. It's called Feels So Different. Enjoy.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Help me to help you to behold you.
spent a long time talking. I thought they meant every word they said. Like everyone else, they were stalling. Now they seem so different. They seem so different. They seem so different. I should have hatred for you. But I do not have any. And I have always loved you.
You just heard Jump in the River off of that 1990 release. I really like that song. I really like all of Sinead O'Connor's albums, but I do not want what I haven't got. Another like masterful pull from her. Again, super young, not even 24, I think, when it came out. And but at this point, she had had her first child, and she had been, like, launched into international fame. And she was turning out to be one of the most influential pop singers of the early 90s, which a lot was going on in the early 90s. So to be super famous, you had to be a little bit special, at least one would think. But yeah, she really, really peaked in her career right around this time. And for good reason, in my opinion. I have one more song off of this 1990 album. My favorite song off of this album. This is The Emperor's New Clothes.
Bedroom. You said it was dangerous.
Once again, that was just The Emperor's New Clothes off of that 1990 release, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got. I know you just listened to it, but I'm gonna read some of these lyrics because, oh my gosh. He thinks I just became famous and that's what messed me up, but he's wrong. How could I possibly know what I want when I was only 21? So this is her, right, reflecting on her insane rise to fame over the past 3 years. Later in the song, she goes, "Everyone can see what's going on. They laugh because they know they're untouchable, not because what I said was wrong. Whatever it may bring, I will live by my own policies. I will sleep with a clear conscience. I will sleep in peace." And then she goes, a few lines later, "You asked for the truth and I told you. Through their own words, they will be exposed. They've got a severe case of the Emperor's new clothes. So that song came out in 1990. And it's really interesting because reading those lyrics and looking at that song, she very much foreshadows what is about to happen in her career a couple years later. So a couple years later, she is invited to SNL as the musical guest. And again, she's like internationally recognized as this amazing pop singer. But I fear people weren't really listening to those lyrics, right? Like just 2 years prior to her appearance, she was singing those songs. And she was made famous for those songs. So she goes on SNL. And during her performance at the end, she's singing a Bob Marley song. And Bob Marley and Rastafarianism is a huge inspiration to her. She takes a photo of Pope John Paul II, which had been hung in her mother's room. And she rips it up and says to not just the audience in the room, but also everyone watching Saturday Night Live, she says, "Fight the real enemy." And this was her protesting the Catholic Church and their handling of child abuse. She immediately was punished for this act. And there were like huge backlash against her. People were crushing her CDs in the street. And, Ireland has a Catholic history that is very tumultuous. And so she was really alienating herself in many ways. But, right, she doesn't care. She's going to sleep with a clear conscience because she speaks the truth. And that was over 30 years ago now. And her career never recovered. But in hindsight, you know, today we look back at that and we say, oh my gosh, that was prophetic. She was right. And I think it really speaks to her character and what she saw as the role of music, right? She wasn't really seeking fame in the traditional sense. And that is why there was so much tension between her and her own fame. Because, she saw music as this revolutionary tool. But people were kind of just like listening to it for like pop songs. So it's really interesting to look back. You know, obviously I wasn't born in 1992, but I'm thinking about The Emperor's New Clothes and then they invite her to SNL. And I'm like, well, what the heck did you expect her to say, right? Like, listen to the lyrics. And then everyone was like, oh my God, Sinead O'Connor. She's an enemy of the church. She's an enemy of America, of everyone. But that's not the truth. She's an ally of everyone, really. Which brings me to her next album. I have two songs off of this album called Universal Mother. Motherhood becomes a really big part of O'Connor's life. And she speaks about it a lot. Even in Emperor's New Clothes, you know, she opens it with, "It seems it's been years since you had a baby," right? Like, what is the impact of motherhood on one's personhood is a question she asks. But before we get into that next album, which comes out in 1994, so 2 years after the SNL incident, I have a PSA for you. The support of a friend gives someone dealing with a mental illness a greater chance at recovery. For more information, go to whatadifference.org. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. Sinead O'Connor struggled with her mental health throughout her entire life. And she was a passionate advocate for all justice and healing, but really struggled with that internally. So, timely PSA. Next up, okay, this one's a little bit of a cheat. This is a cover by, it's All Apologies by Nirvana. But I just, gosh, I love this cover. Once again, this is off of that 1994 release, Universal Mother.
What else should I be? All apologies. What else should I say? Everyone is gay. Could I write? I don't have the right. What else should I be? Oh.
Thank you.
You just heard Thank You for Hearing Me off of that 1994 release, Universal Mother. When you put that song in the context of her career, I think a lot of its meaning really shows, right? She says, you know, in the beginning, the lyrics are very simple. She just says over and over again, thank you for hearing me, thank you for loving me, thank you for not hurting me. But then, at the very end, there's a little bit of a switch right before it goes to that instrumental outro. And she goes, thank you for breaking my heart. Thank you for tearing me apart. Now I'm a strong, strong heart. Thank you for breaking my heart. So, like I said before, what she did on SNL happened in October of 1992. And this was a 1994 release. So, seeing how her lyrics have changed, how she responds to her own career in her music, I think is super interesting. And again, masterfully done. I have one more song off of the Universal Mother album. This one is a very Irish song. It's called Famine. Enjoy.
Specifically, I want to talk about the famine, about the fact that there never really was one. There was no famine. See, Irish people were only allowed to eat potatoes. All of the other food, meat, fish, vegetables, were shipped out of the country under armed guard to England while the Irish people starved. And then, in the middle of all this, they gave us money not to teach our children Irish. And so we lost our history, and this is what I think is still hurting me. See, we're like a child.
that's been battered has to drive itself out of its head, because it's frightened, still feels all the painful feelings. But they lose contact with the memory, and this leads to massive self-destruction, alcoholism, drug addiction, all desperate attempts at running, and in its worst form becomes actual killing. And if there ever is gonna be healing, there has to be remembering and then grieving, so that there then can be forgiving. There has to be knowledge and understanding. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? An American army regulation says you mustn't kill more than 10% of a nation, because to do so causes permanent psychological damage. It's not permanent, but they didn't know that. Anyway, during the supposed famine, we lost a lot more than 10% of our nation through deaths on land or in ships of emigration. But what finally broke us was not starvation, but its use in the controlling of our education. Schools go on about Black 47, on and on about the terrible famine. But what they don't say is, in truth, there really never was one.
Excuse me.
The lonely people.
Sorry, excuse me.
Where do they all come from?
I can tell you in one word.
Oh, the lonely people. Where do they all come from? So let's take a look, shall we? The highest statistics of child abuse in the EEC, and we say we're a Christian country, but we've lost contact with our history. See, we used to worship God as a mother. We're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Look at all our old men in the pubs. Look at all our young people on drugs. We used to worship God as a mother. Now look at what we're doing to each other. We've even made killers of ourselves, the most childlike, trusting people in the universe. And this is what's wrong with us. Our history books, the parent figures lied to us. I see the Irish as a race, like a child that got itself bashed in the face. And if there ever is gonna be healing, there has to be remembering and then grieving, so that there then can be forgiving. There has to be knowledge and understanding. Oh, lonely people,
on the brink of a great achievement. In this island, there is no solution to be found to our disagreements by shooting each other. There is no real invader here. We are all Irish in all our different kinds of ways. We must not now or ever in the future show anything to each other except tolerance, forbearance, and neighborly love.
Our traditions. Everyone here knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
So that was just Famine, and I think that song does, it really shows her ability to, like, bring in all of these textures and sounds to a song, but still have it be really cohesive, right? Like, there was howling in that song, but there was also what you just heard at the end, the inclusion of some sort of, like, broadcast audio. And, right, like, she layers everything to create these little narratives in each of her songs. I think Famine is just a really great song in that it shows, or it speaks to, right, like, this really long and deep history in just under 5 minutes. And, you know, O'Connor is, you know, an Irish figure. And the history of Ireland is deeply rooted in a history of liberation. And so you see that in her music everywhere, because she